pretty soon. Everyone has the source. Okay, so we are in the personal approach now to Shira Hashirim, as opposed to the national read, which we've seen so far. I was thinking about it this morning, that really the difference between the national approach, which we saw so far, and basically the other major approaches that we're going to see, including the one we're going to see today, is how I view Shlomo. If I take the national approach, then I'm really viewing Shlomo as a Navi, as a prophet. He is predicting for the Jews what's going to be. Whereas the personal approach, which is going to speak to Hashem's relationship with the individual's relationship with Hashem, and the philosophical approaches about the soul and so on, all of those approaches really see Shlomo as a chacham. He is a sage, the wisest of all, who's disclosing philosophical lessons. It hit me this morning, and I thought that was an interesting point. I also wanted to answer a question which Janine asked last time. I don't see her here. But nonetheless, she had asked about it. We had talked about the read of Ibn Ezra on the story, and his, we fit Ibn Ezra into the national read, which the Medrash brought, which Rashi brought. He had some variation. Janine had asked how Ibn Ezra reads the Shomrim in the story. What happened was Ibn Ezra said that the daughters of Jerusalem in Shir HaShirim are actually the thoughts of the woman who is speaking. They're not a separate entity. They are simply imaginary. It's a conversation going on in her head. So the question was, well, we have this other party in the book, the Shomerim, the guards, they appear twice, once in chapter 3 and once in chapter 5. In chapter 3, they're friendly. The Ra'aya, the woman speaking in the book, says, oh, you know what? I just realized I'm sitting here with headphones, which is fine for me, and it's fine for you, except that the recording doesn't hear what you're saying if you're on headphones. So, okay, now the recording will catch what people say as well. But going back to what I had just said, the Shomrim, the guards, are in chapter 3, the Ra'aya, the woman in Shir HaShirim, appeals to them to help her find her beloved. Whereas in chapter 5, the guards are hostile. They attack her. So how does Ibn Ezra read the guards? So I brought you source number 1, and the answer is that Ibn Ezra reads them differently. The guards are not a thing. Rather, they are different things. So the first time round, in chapter 3, when they're friendly, that's Moshe and Aharon. Ad shemitzauni hashomerim. Until the guards found me, that's Moshe and Aharon. Whereas the second reference to the guards, the hostile ones, are Malchei Yavan, the Greek kings, and those are the ones who cause us trouble. That's just a side note, wrapping up an old point. But what I want to do today is really get to understand the Rambam's approach to Shir HaShirim, that it is about Hashem's relationship with the individual person. And we'll see also Rabbeinu Bechaye, later than the Rambam, who takes the Rambam's approach. And then I want to move on from there, possibly even today, depends how much time we spend on the Rambam, to move into the philosophical realm and the ideas of Ralbag. Okay? Good? All right. So, hang on one second. Okay. Was anyone trying to get my attention until now, and I just didn't hear them? Was anyone speaking until now, I didn't hear them? Okay. Because when I pulled out the headphones, my speaker turned off. Okay. All good. Lots of technical issues today. So, the Rambam believes that we are meant to model our relationship with God on human relationships, meaning the way that you feel strong love for someone, that should be your template for your relationship with Hashem. Now, to me, this idea that God loves us and that we love God, and this read of Shir HaShirim, in which we fail to make good on that love relationship with Hashem, and we're pursuing Hashem and all that, to me, that's the most obvious pshat read of Shir HaShirim. It's the most basic read of the book, and it's consistent with so much in Tanakh. God talks about loving human beings and human beings being in a loving relationship with God all the time. If you take a look at source number 2, I gave you particular verses. The first one is Hashem talking about Abraham. When Hashem decides to tell Abraham about Sodom, it says, Ki yedativ, leman asher yitzaves, banaves, beso acharav, etc. You could translate Ki yedativ as I have known Abraham, but it doesn't sound like it in the text. It sounds like the more intimate meaning of Yodea, that Hashem is saying, I love Abraham. And the idea that Hashem loves Abraham is perhaps the first expression of God's love for a human being. Another example of it, still in source number 2, Devarim chapter 7. So we say that Hashem chose you, me ahavas Hashem eschem, because Hashem loves you. The truth of the matter is that as I'm thinking about it, though, that's not a good source necessarily, because that's about the nation, not about an individual. Ditto the next reference, which I gave you on the sheet, which is, as Hashem he'amarta, you have spoken for God, a term that is used specifically in the context of a love relationship, and Hashem he'emircha, Hashem has spoken for you. But the idea of divine love for us, certainly on the national level, is something you find throughout Tanakh, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel. The most famous example, probably Hosea. Right, those who learned Hosea with me, it's been a very long time since we learned that together. That was September, October 2009. But when we learned that, we saw that very dramatic story in which Hashem tells Hosea that he should take up with a woman of ill repute to represent the way that the Jews had not been faithful to God. Whether that story actually happened, whether that story was only meant as a metaphor, you can catch the recordings. I think I put them online on YU Torah. I'm not 100% sure. They might be on YU Torah. But my point is simply that the idea that the Jews are supposed to be, and the individual Jew is supposed to be in a loving relationship with Hashem, we take as basic, we take as fundamental. Maybe the best example is the verse I didn't even bring. Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, right? And all the references of le'ahava that are found in the Torah. So of course you have to have this loving relationship. Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pakuda, writing in, I believe, the 11th century, presents a definition of love of God, which is very helpful here. If you take a look at source number 3, this is from his Chavos Halevavos, Chavot Halevavot. He says, Ma inyan ha'ahava be'lokim. What exactly is love of God? So he says, Hu kalos hanefesh unatosa be'atzma el habore. I translated this as the soul consuming itself. Right, like the term Kaf Lamed is used many times. Moshe Wise, who's not on right now, had a different suggestion. I was hoping he would be on so that he could present his idea. But either way, it's the soul being just all wrapped up in its creator. Netosa be'atzma el haborei, its natural inclination towards the creator. Kadesha tidbak ba'aroha elyon, in order to stick to cleave to his higher illumination. Vehusha nefesh etzem pashut ruchani. He says, look, the soul is an abstract spiritual entity. It's non-material. Not abstracted, probably the wrong word, but it's a non-physical entity. Nota el hadomela mehaishim aruchniim. So what does it want to be with? Other spiritual entities. Umisrachek b'tiva me'asher hu kenegdam and hagufos ha'avos. It naturally distances itself from physicality, from that which is physical. Like goes with like, he says. So there's a natural attraction of the soul to Hashem, and Hashem promotes that attraction. And it's standard in our liturgy, right? We say, Ahava Rabba, or Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu. We talk about the love that Hashem has for us, and all the times we use the word Be'ahava, with love, in the davening. There's supposed to be a love relationship between us and Hashem. This is seen in the Rambam. The Rambam's comments regarding Shir HaShirim, he explicitly says, Shir HaShirim is a mashal, is a parable for that. Take a look at source number 4, and you can hear the echoes of Rabbeinu Bachya in the Rambam. Remember, Rabbeinu Bachya is the earlier one. Rabbeinu Bachya is 11th century, the Rambam is 12th century. The Rambam is familiar with what Rabbeinu Bachya has done, and he says, V'ketzad hi ha'ahava ha're'uya. What is the appropriate love of God? Hu she'ye'ehaves Hashem ahava gedola yisera aza me'od. Ad she'tehe nafsho k'shura be'ahavas Hashem v'nimtza shogeba tamid. He says, a person has to love God in this. I don't know a good translation besides the words that I wrote for my translation here. So I'm just going to read out my own translation. Ein ava gedola, a great love, yisera, over and above, magnified. Aza me'od, very powerful. Ajtei nafshok shura be'avas Hashem, to the point that his soul is bound to love of God. V'nimsa shogeba tamid, and he is lost in it continually. Ki'ilu chole choli ha'ahava, as though one is lovesick, she'in da'ato pnuya me'ahavas osa isha, as though he can't get the woman out of his mind. V'ushogeba tamid, he is constantly lost in thinking of her. Bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashu uchel b'shoseh, whether he is lying down, whether he is getting up, whether he is eating and drinking, doesn't matter. At all times, he is like that. Yes, and mizeh tia avas Hashem b'leiv ohavav. Even greater than that should be the love of Hashem in the heart of those who love Him. Shogim b'tamid, they should be lost in it perpetually. Kemo shetzivanu, as He commanded us, b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart, with all your life. That's what the love should be. V'hu sheshlomo amar derech mashal, and now we get to Shir HaShirim. Shlomo stated it in his parable. Ki cholas ahava ani, I am lovesick. That's from Shir HaShirim. And then I bolded and underlined. V'chol Shir HaShirim mashal hu le'inyan zeh. All of Shir HaShirim, hang on, Dahlia. All of Shir HaShirim is a parable for this. That's what it's about. It's meant to depict the love between Hashem and us. Dahlia.
I just find it odd that somebody with 1,000 wives would talk about this deep, lovesick, romantic love for Hashem when he never had like a stable relationship of his own.
But I think that's exactly the point, right? When we get to Koheles and we see him bemoan the state of his relationships, we realize he spends his whole life looking for this and not finding it. Mm. It's absolutely true. I mean, it's sad. The wife of Shlomo, who we know the most about, was clearly a political marriage, the daughter of Paro. Yeah.
Which is shocking when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, we did it last year, right? We talked about the whole business and it not being a permitted relationship and the whole discussion. It's tragic that he never finds that. And I have a theory, which we'll get to when we get there, as to why he never. So hopefully we'll get to discuss that in Koheles. Yes, Rose.
I just want to say that even for the Ramban, I mean, he spent his entire days, he was a physician, he was actually a respiratory physician, mm-hmm. and he worked from, I don't know what hour, till 2 in the morning, and then he studied, and he did all these things. So, you know, Hashem with all your heart, all your mind, for the effort. you still, you can love, but you don't have to always be having that in your mind, because that's not
so
possible if you have another, you have to put bread on the table, or whatever you need to do, right?
So in the Rambam's view, hang in there, Ricky, in the Rambam's view, first of all, the Rambam does not work until 2 in the morning. That's not so. The Rambam is a very big believer in the idea that people should get 8 hours of sleep. And while I don't think the Rambam actually got 8 hours of sleep, there's just no way. Nonetheless, he wasn't working until 2 in the morning.
Yes.
But the greater point is,
you know what I mean?
The greater point that the Rambam is making is that do whatever it is that you're doing and constantly feel that attachment to your beloved. That's the idea. This is something that gets discussed in a different context. You know, we have a bracha to say before learning Torah. One should say brachos in the morning, berachos haTorah, and they cover you for the entire day. That's not the norm in our activities. Normally, you make a bracha on an activity, you finish the activity, you go do something else, you come back to it, if it's supposed to have a bracha, you make a new bracha. Right? If I'm wearing my talis, I make a bracha on the talis, I take it off, I go do something else, I come back, I put on the talis, I need a brand new bracha. So why is it that one bracha on Torah study works for the entire day? So classically, the answer is that it's because we are said to be engaged in trying to get back to learning Torah all through the day. Whether we are applying Torah in what we're doing, or that's our permanent activity and everything else is just, you know, what's interrupting. But that's the way he's looking at the love of Hashem. That's the idea. Ricky.
To me, that is the purpose of all the mahot, of all the rituals, of all the outwardly sign. It's just to put us in mind all the time of Hashem and you know, loving Him. So I that's another topic, but you know, we bless Hashem. We eat bread or whatever, but it just reminds us God is blessed, yes, but it also reminds us about God all the time. We leave the house and we look at the mezuzah and it tells us you have to be a God-fearing person as you go outside, not just inside. And this is why I feel, and then I have another point after you answer me.
I mean, just I would note that I almost exactly what you just said in the beginning, when you're, you know, all the mitzvos and all the learning and so on is meant to get people to help other people and to feel the needs of other people. That's the way that it's framed. The way that is framed in the writings of, Rabbi Yitzchak of Elazhin's introduction to the Nefesh HaChaim, but also, I think it was Yechezkel Levenstein from the Mir Yeshiva. He has a line, which I'm not going to quote accurately, so I'm not going to pretend I'm quoting it accurately. But basically, he says all of the learning that we do and all of the mitzvos is meant to get people to have empathy for others and to bear the burden of others. So,
and also to remind us of our love for God.
That's not what he says, no.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So you write your own book.
The other thing I want to say, we're all supposed to fear Hashem, as the Bukhalidim. How do you mix the love with the fear?
Right, so you're asking a very good question, for which, you know, we're not going to be able to discuss it now. It's a very important question. How is it that one works with yirah, awe, reverence, fear, and ahava, love? The ideal vision of it, as various rabbis have written over the ages, is that each enhances the other. The awe enhances the love, and the love and appreciation enhances the awe. The two go hand in hand. Both of them are not supposed to be. Their ideal form is not about love of reward or fear of punishment. This is about gaining an appreciation and understanding of Hashem, such that on the one hand you are drawn and attracted and feel love, and at the same time you're in just total awe and reverence for Hashem.
There's a difference between awe and fear.
Yes, there is, and that's the distinction I'm drawing right now. That's exactly what I was saying. I'm
going
to go a little further though, because I'm sorry, Ricky. It's a good topic. It's just not one that we're going to be able to do justice to right now.
I just want to say very quickly, in answer to Rose, that even
even when you're making a parnasa and you're trying to be honest in your dealings and you're trying to treat other people and the people you're working with respect, you're always thinking how God would want you to treat people. So there's no waking moment when God is not part of your life, even when you're making a living.
Thank you. In number 5, I brought you the Mora Nevuchim, where the Rambam, in his Guide of the Perplexed, also talks about this. He does a little bit more in terms of Shir HaShirim, and I thought it worth seeing this as well. I brought you the Friedlander translation just because it's the one that's available for free online. He says, "Behagia ish mibnei adam mehasagos ha'amitiyos v'simchaso b'meshe hisig." He says, I'm torn because I have the Friedlander right here, but I don't always like it. So I might translate it myself as we go along, and it might deviate from what Friedlander did. So we'll see. But Behagia ish mibnei adam mehasagos ha'amitiyos v'simchaso b'meshe hisig. When a person achieves true understandings and is happy in that which he has understood, le'inyan shiyah bo misaper im b'nei adam u'misasek b'tzarchei gufo, when he is speaking with people, when he is involved in his material needs, v'sichlo kula bo'esahi yiyah em Hashem yisbarach. This actually is exactly the point we were discussing. His mind is entirely with God. God is always in his heart, even as he's talking to people, even as he's doing the other things that he needs to do. Even though his body is with people, al haderech shenamar, and this is the key part, I underlined and bolded it, along the lines of what is found in the poetic parables that were created specifically about these things, and he quotes you from Shir HaShirim, Ani yeshena v'libi er. I am asleep, my heart is awake, alert. Kol dodi dofek. The voice of, or the sound of, my beloved is knocking. Zos hamadrega eini omer shu madregas kol hanevi'im. This is that level in which you're always in love with God, no matter what you're doing. Not even all the prophets achieved that. Rak Omar Shehu Machi Madregas Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. I'll just say it's Moshe's level. V'namar Alav, like the Pasuk says, V'nigash Moshe Levado El Hashem. Moshe went alone to God. Others, no one accompanied him. V'zos Gamkin Madregas Ha'avos. That was the level of the patriarchs. Asher Higia Kirvasim El Hashem Yizbarach Ad Shenodash Shmo Bahem Li'olam. They got so close to God that God's name was identified with them forever, like Hashem told Moshe, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. God said, that's what you should call me. Zeshmi Leolam, that is my name forever, Zezechri Lador Dor, that's the way you should mention me for generations. V'higia mehis ached de osam bahasagaso shekaras in kol echad mehem bris kayemes. As a result of their closeness to God, God made a bris, a covenant with each of them. Ukvar yadata hahefresh. Now he says something new. He says there are two terms that we're going to use for love in Hebrew. It's always very interesting to me. We don't really have a word in Hebrew for like. You know, when you have like people you like, so you could say someone is chaviv, right? As opposed to an ohev. But we don't have a word for like. But he says there's ohev, and then there's a stronger word, and that is choshek. And choshek, in the Rambam's mind, is stronger than, I'm just reading the transcript as we go along here, is stronger than ohev. He says, Ukvar yadata hahefresh shebein ohev v'choshek. He says, you know the difference between ohev and choshek. Ki haflagas ha'ahava ad shelo tisha'er machshava b'davar acher ela be'ahuv ha'hu hu ha'cheshek. When the love becomes so great that there's no thought of anything else but only one's beloved, that is cheshek. And then he goes on to talk about how we're told that Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam have this unique death where it is with a kiss from Hashem. So he says, the meaning there, Hakavana Bishloshtan, I added the words in brackets, the Misas Neshika, Shemesu be'inyan hanas ha'hasaga ha'hi merov ha'cheshek. They died with that pleasure that comes from that closeness to Hashem because of their great cheshek. V'nimshechu ha'chachamim zal b'zeh ma'amar al derech mlitzas ha'shir mefursemes. And he says that our sages continued to speak along those lines as recorded in Shir HaShirim. Shetikrei shem ha'asaga ha'magasim chizuk cheshek Hashem yisbarach nishika. The term for achieving that close bond with Hashem is nishika. Be'omro yishakeni minishikos pihu, and he quotes from the beginning of Shir HaShirim, he will kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So the Rambam says again, Shir HaShirim is about that kind of love between Hashem and the individual. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Rambam never gives a verse-by-verse read of Shir HaShirim. That wasn't his thing. So it's not as though I could show you in the book, and here's what the Rambam says here, and here's what the Rambam says here, and here are the Benos Yerushalayim, and here are the Shomrim. By the way, Janine, you'll want to go back and catch the beginning, because I answered the question of Ibn Ezra and the Shomrim in the beginning. But the Rambam doesn't do that. He's just telling you the whole book is a parable about the love the individual has for God and the relationship of seeking God and God wanting that love from the person. That's what the Rambam writes. Others, yes, Esther.
It just occurs to me that, we're commanded ahava. We're not commanded chishuk. And maybe that's more realistic. So chishuk can be something that we strive for, and wouldn't that be lovely? But we're rarely commanded ahava, and it recognizes our lives and sort of the way that Judaism tends to, that we go on with life.
It's an interesting idea. About my only problem is that I think that ahava also is a lot to demand.
Is a lot, that's right.
Is a lot to demand.
Yes, it is, 100%. And especially defined the way that Rabbeinu Bachya defined it in source number 3. It's very anti-material, it's very soul-consuming, which I think it might be contradictory to Rambam's outlook, which is more of a, we can live our lives and love Hashem throughout the way we live our lives without it having to burn up our souls, right, and be a completely different experience.
I hear. I don't know. I would need to be an expert in Rabbeinu Bachya, really, and I'm far from it. So, but it's a good thought. Someone sent me a message where they also had the same thought that Moshe Wise did, as I mentioned when I translated Rabbeinu Bachya before about kalos, that it should be like the kalos aleihem kol hayom. It's possible. The problem is that I think that use of the word kalos there is the same as this kalos. I don't think that that's actually different. I think it's all about to be all consumed and to end with something. But I didn't look into it. He sent me the email yesterday and I haven't had a chance to look into it. So, could be. Okay. Many others have, gone the route of the Rambam here. I just wanted to note one, and that's Rabbeinu Bachaye. Do not confuse Rabbeinu Bachya, who we saw before in source number 3, and Rabbeinu Bachaye, who I bring you in source number 6. You know, sometimes I include where they lived and when they lived, and I didn't do that on the sheets. In general, I don't much for the Tanakh Shiurim. But Rabbeinu Bachaye, Rabbeinu Bachya, we said, was, I think, 11th century. Rabbeinu Bachaye is a student of the Rashba, so he's 14th century. He is a very big follower of the Rambam in terms of the Rambam's ideas. He's best known to people, I think, because of his commentary on the Torah. But we also have his Kad HaKemach, which is more philosophical. And in the entry for Ahava, he takes this discussion about love and cheshek, and explores it a bit. He's not really going to add so much to what we've said, but I wanted to just show you somebody else who follows in the Rambam's footsteps. So take a look at number 6, please. He says, "V'hala marita, kama gedola avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael." He says, "You have now learned how great is the love of Hashem for Israel." In the comments that precede the excerpt I brought you here, "Shenimshla la'avas ish li'ishto." It is compared to the love of a man for his wife. "V'shalo ratza la'achlifam v'shum uma," and that God will never trade us for anybody else. "Midas ha'ava gedola," and then he says, "Ava is great." "Ach midas ha'cheshek gedola mimena," but here you go again, cheshek is even greater. "Ki ha'ava hu she'ohev es ha'ohuv b'chol pe'ulosav." Love, ahava, is when one loves the beloved in all his actions. "B'nigla u'b'nistar," in the open and in private. "Ava le'itim tisalem ha'ava mimenu," but sometimes you stop thinking about the ahava. "V'yishkach osa," and you forget it. "K'shum es'atek ba'achila u'shasiya," when you're eating or drinking. "O b'shena," when you're sleeping, which I think could be forgiven. "Aval ha'cheshek hi d'veikus ha'machshava." Cheshek is when one's thoughts adhere, they cleave. "Be'ahava gedola ve'aza," with a great and mighty ahava. "She'ein machsheves ha'choshek nifredes min ha'choshuk klal." The thoughts of the choshek never leave the choshuk. The lover's thoughts never leave the beloved. "Ve'al ha'mala hazos shel ha'cheshek nisyaseid sefer shir hashirim." He says that's what shir hashirim is meant to describe. "Shehischil yishakeni minishikos piyo," it begins with "let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." "Vidarshu zal kolaksuvim kodesh v'shir hashirim kodesh kadashim." They say all the songs are, all these scriptures are kodesh. Shir hashirim is holy of holies. "Ki tachlis hamavukash min ha'adam lahadbik hamachshava v'kodesh hakadashim." Because the goal, the goal that we're supposed to have in mind is to have that kind of Kodesh HaKadoshim adherence, cleaving to God. "V'hine milas neshika lashon dvekos," and so on. Neshika means to cleave and so on. It's just, I'm just showing you somebody else who expresses this read of Shir HaShirim. Again, he's not giving us a line by line, but what it means is that we read Shir HaShirim not with a suggestion that this is when the Jews got out of Egypt, this is when they sinned in the first temple, this is when they got exiled, this is their desire to come back. It's the ups and downs that individuals go through in their lives, in their relationship with Hashem. And sometimes we sing of Hashem's beauty and Hashem sings of our beauty, and sometimes Hashem knocks and we're not there. You get these ups and downs in the relationship. And as I said in the beginning, the approach that the Rambam is taking here, and the approach that we're going to see from the philosophical approaches as well, are really seeing Shlomo in a different light. Not as the Navi telling us the future of the Jewish people, but rather as the Chacham giving us the instructions of the wisest of all men about our avoda, what we're supposed to be doing, and about our relationship with Hashem. Clear? Questions, comments? Ricky?
Is this common for the Rambam not to go into great depths, but rather to see things as it were on the surface?
So I don't think it's about looking at it in depth versus on the surface. I think what it's about is the fact that he never, to the best of my knowledge, writes commentaries on biblical verses. That's not his avenue. He does, yeah. He comments on Mishnah. He writes works of law, certainly. Writes works of philosophy. Writes works of medicine. He doesn't do biblical commentary. Sandra.
What's the response to other commentaries?
What he did here, I don't think so. I think it's just, it's consistent with his philosophy. That's really where I see it. Sandra.
I'm just a little bit confused. I understand what it said, the Hashem Hashem Elokecha. It's more like a father rather than as a lover. And here Shlomo or Rambam, we're talking about the relationship of Hashem with Bnei Yisrael as a lover rather than as a father and the creator.
You are not confused at all. You are 100% right. This is a formulation of the relationship with Hashem as a love relationship of, you know, I mean, they said, ish v'ishto, right? This is supposed to be like a marriage type of a relationship. And I realize that's a little bit shocking in the sense that we usually think of husband and wife as equals, azer kenegdo, operating on the same level, which is manifestly not the case in our relationship with Hashem. At the same time, look back at the examples I gave you. Tanakh, you know, invites us to read it that way. So this is, you know, this isn't the Rambam's invention. That's the, you know, that's what I see. But I think you're right. I think that this is a different relationship. This is not the God as parent type of relationship. We don't use it, right? Meaning, you know, when we daven, you know, Yom Kippur time or on a fast day, we say Avinu Malkeinu. We do not say Ahuvenu or whatever, Chavivenu or whatever. We don't use that. And I think it probably is because it wouldn't be appropriate for tefillah. You know, seeing God on that level doesn't work in the context of prayer.
Well, it seems to me that what we're learning now is the justification of including sharing in the Tanakh. So that's also a different, and I'm speaking like, you know, it's not just the only reason, but it seems to me that our relationship with God is of the Father, but there's also room for it being a love relationship, you know, the Harti Rav said to the Uriah.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. I'd agree with that. Okay, so we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk the philosophical read of Shir HaShirim. I think I'm going to give it a...